Romans chapter 5. Thought I would finish up the chapter today, but I don't think I'm going to do it. Romans chapter 5. You guys act surprised once in a while. You ought to be surprised. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start at verse 15. I'm going to read through verse 19. Romans 5, 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. Transmission. I think I said that last week. For if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. For if by the transgression of the one death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so, through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many will be made righteous. Let's look to Christ in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this truth. This, Lord God, that has been confused for so long. This truth that gives us the gospel that is desired, Lord, that people need. They need to understand this truth. They need to understand the truth of the gospel. Because, Father, our society is so condemning. And yet, Father, there is truth here of how you view people. So, Lord God, I pray that as we are endeavoring to open this passage up, that your Spirit would open it in our hearts. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In Romans, we've come to this place knowing that Paul wrote the book. He wrote it to a group of Christians, a very important church in Rome, and the theme of the book is justification by faith alone. Now, to get to that theme, to develop that theme, he shows us that everyone are condemned in and of themselves. They are all condemned because of sin. But he also shows us the faith of Abraham and how we can have that faith that's not by works, it's not by ceremonialism, it's not even by the law. But through the faith, we can have peace with God. And he also shows us the gift, the gift and the greater gift. The gift of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, which gave us forgiveness, but the greater gift of the resurrection. So he's come to this point, he's led up to this point. And last week what we looked at is one man's effect. And we looked at Adam's sin and how one person has affected the whole human race. Now, we did that for a reason, because what he's going to be showing here, as you will see, is how one other person, Jesus Christ, has also affected the whole human race. So we're going to be looking at the contrast of sin and grace. Look at what it says in verse 15. But the free gift is not like the transgression. The free gift is not like the transgression. The word free gift here is charisma. Charisma. You might recognize that because we've used it oftentimes. It's the word, charis is the word grace in the original language. It's unmerited favor. It is something that is not earned. It is not oftentimes not even desired. It's something that you would want, but not asked for or whatever. But it is given freely. Under no obligation it is given. That's the gift. That's the word gift that is used here. And he says the free gift is not like, and the word like is just exactly like the transgression. There's a difference. And the word not is very emphatic. Transgression means falling alongside or a deviation from the right path. That's what Adam did. And the emphasis here, what I want to point out, the emphasis here, we're going to compare them and contrast them, the free gift and the transgression, what came from transgressions. But I don't, the effect of the free gift and the effect of the transgression are apparent, okay? And that you will see as we go through here. But that wasn't Paul's point. To study the thought behind the original language, it's in the language itself. To study that, what you can see here is he's not so much talking about the effect. He's talking about certainty. Okay? Now, I'll show you this as we go through here, because it's really interesting how he does this. He says the free gift is not like the transgression, in certainty even. Okay? For if by the transgression of the one the many died, okay? Now, that word if is the first class condition, which means you can put the word since in there. Since this happened. Okay? Now, as we look at this, you recognize history. You go back and look at Adam, look at his life, look at Adam and Eve, and how their sin, how Adam's sin of independence has affected the world. The whole world has been affected by that. Everyone is now born into sin. Everyone has stepped into the footsteps of Adam. In other words, they have sinned. Excuse me. Everyone in Adam has committed that sin of disobedience, of independence. And so that is certain, right? I mean, it has happened. We look back at it and say, well, that's a fact. It's a fact because it's happened already. But look what it says. It says, for since by the transgression of the one, Adam, the many died, much more. And this is where Paul starts getting excited. You're going to see this oftentimes here. He kind of gets excited. He says, much more did the grace of God and the gift by that grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Now, the effect we're going to see, condemnation and justification, we're going to see that. But the certainty here is that, hey, guess what? Just like what Adam did and it affected everybody, much more what Jesus did affects everybody. It's much more, the word much more, it's certainly, the certainty is greater. And the reason it's greater is because we can trust God more than we can trust Adam. Even though we look back and it's already happened. It's a certain thing. What Adam did is a set thing. It's set in history. It's a done deal. It's absolutely certain. But you know what? What God says is more certain than what's absolutely certain. That's what he's saying here. Is what God has said here, much more the gift, I'm sorry, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. So what happened with Adam affected the many. It affected the world. Who is the many, by the way? It's the world, the whole world. Who was not affected by Adam's sin? Only Christ. Only Christ. Because he did not have an earthly father. He was the only one not affected by Adam's sin. So the whole world was affected. The whole world was put into a place of sinfulness. And that's a certain thing. But you know what? There's something that's more certain. It's more certain because God has done it. Okay? It's more certain because we can trust God more than we can trust Adam even. God is greater and more trustworthy. God said it. It's more certain than what's already happened. He says to the one man, the grace and the gift, the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound. And the word abound means to flood or to overflow. Enough for all. It flooded to the many, the same many that was in Adam, the same many that died in Adam. It's interesting because if you look at various commentaries, in fact, you go and you read through some commentaries, if you have any, and you, what you will see is oftentimes the words here are separated. The many, all, he'll use the same word, and yet the commentaries will say, well, that just means the many was the whole world, but then the other many that received the grace of God, that was just Christians. So you have the many, and then you have the sum of the many. And you have, you know, they try and separate all this. So the problem is, in the original language, he uses the same word. And you're going to see this as we go on. But look at verse 16. I want to see, show you the contrast of the sources here. Verse 16. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. So the gift is different in certainty. The gift is different also in effect. He says it's different than the one who sinned. The gift isn't like that which came through the one who sinned. He says, for on the one hand, the judgment rose. Now the word judgment, interesting word. It's judgment means the legal decision or the verdict. Right? So the judgment came, and because of that judgment, it arose from one transgression, and the result of that is condemnation. The word condemnation is the same word as judgment, except it's got a word in front of it that means under. So under judgment. So the judgment came because of the one who sinned. And now everyone is under that judgment. Everyone is condemned under the judgment, under the legal decision. But look what it says. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in or toward or into justification. The free gift arose from many. So from one sin, all because of one sin, one decision of independence, there arose condemnation. The effect was condemnation. But from many decisions of independence, you see that? From many sins? From many decisions of independence, from many missing the mark, from many disobedience to God, there arose something that was even greater. There arose justification. The word justification means to have a right standing before God. The first source of condemnation being from one sin, the source of many sins is justification, and the effect is justification. The difference here, because they're both coming from sins, but the difference here is the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam being the one who did it man's way, resulting in condemnation. The second Adam being the one who has done it God's way. And that results in justification, having a right standing before God. Now keep going. Verse 17. This will all gel together as we get into this. Verse 17. For if, again, that's, you can put the word since there. For since by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one. So again, we're contrasting. Okay? And he says, for if by the since by the transgression of the one, death reigned. Now the word reigned is to rule, to be the king. And you know what? Death is still the king by choice for some. And I'll explain that in a few minutes. But Adam was given a choice, and we are also given a choice. But right now, I'll come back to this, but go down to verse 18, because I want you to see verses 18 and 19, how he just repeats this, okay? Verse 18, so then, as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to who? All men. Even so, through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to who? All men. Now I want you to see that, and then look in verse 19. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. You see how he uses all and how he uses the many? You know what? In the original language, that's the exact same word. It's the exact same word. So you say, well, wait a second. Because I know people that aren't righteous. You know what? You look at my life and you're going to say, he's not righteous. Because I don't act it. I don't live it out always. I sin. We still sin. As Christians, we still sin. So does that make us sinners? I would know, offer you many people who would say, yes, that makes us sinners. And what I would show you is that in Scripture, as a Christian, you are never called a sinner again. Nowhere in the New Testament are Christians called sinners. They are called saints. And the word saint means holy, pure, set apart ones. Okay? So what's going on here? Because if Adam affected the whole world and condemned it, then what Christ did affected the whole world and gave everyone righteousness? Gave everyone justification? Is that, can that be? Can it be that everyone has a right standing before God? And I would contend to you that yes, that is true. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the word reconciliation. We went into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We looked at the fact that the whole world has been reconciled to God. He has reconciled the world to himself. And that would be everyone in the world. So right now, everyone in the world, your neighbor, your friends, the people you work with, the people you know that are not Christian at all, have been reconciled to God. God no longer holds their sins against them. Because of the many sins, remember? The one sin, because of the one sin, the whole world's condemned. But the many sins, because of the many sins, through the many sins, guess what? The whole world is justified. The whole world now stands before God, and God says, I have forgiven you your sins. I have cleansed you. There is no sin between me and you. The whole world stands in that place. But, take a look at 17, verse 17, because I want to wrap this together. Look at the end of verse 17. He says, for if or since by the transgression of the one, death reigned, death was king through the one, much more, and this is where he gets excited again, much more, those who receive, did you catch that? Those who receive the abundance, where are we at? 17. Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. There's a word there, and that word, same word, was in 2 Corinthians. It's the word lambano. Lambano. Lambano is those who accept, those who receive, those who grasp. It's to grasp. It's to hold on to. It's to grab hold of. Those who grab hold of this truth. In other words, he's qualifying this. He's saying, look, the whole world is affected. The whole world is given a right standing before God, but not the whole world is going to benefit from this. The whole world has the benefit, but the whole world will not experience it. God looks at people in pure love. He has forgiven everyone of their sin. Forgiveness is there, but not everyone will grasp it. Not everyone will receive it. Not everyone will hold it, not take it. And not everyone will reign in life. They will remain with death being the king. Do you see that in verse 17? For by the transgression of the one, death reigned. Death reigned. People die physically. They die spiritually. Death reigned. But for those who receive, for those who grasp, for those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, for those who accept what he has done, this forgiveness, for those who accept that, that's why 2 Corinthians says the world has been reconciled, God has reconciled the world to himself, and then it says, you are witnesses, you need to go out and say, tell people, be reconciled to God. God has reconciled the world to himself, but we people, some people have not reconciled themselves to God. By lambano, by accepting, by holding on, by grasping this truth, by grasping the gift that he has given. And it's a free gift. But look what it says in 17. It says, much more those who receive the abundance, and that abundance is overspilling abundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness will reign, and that word reign goes right back to the death reigning. Instead of death reigning, we will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. We will reign in life. What life? I believe it's talking about eternal life. Well, that's when we get to heaven. No. Eternal life doesn't begin when you get to heaven. You realize that? Do you realize that eternal life begins when you grasp, when you receive, when you acknowledge that you cannot gain heaven without him? And he holds that gift out. You see why that's the gospel? You see why it's a gospel that is so needed by people? And it's so much more acceptable to people than to go to them and say, you know what, to be a Christian, you have to run around the church 5 times. You have to paint the church. You have to give a lot of money to the church. You have to do this. You have to be here. You have to go there. You have to, all right? But that's been the message that's so put on to us, is you have to do in order for God to take it. I wasn't in on this conversation, but some of our kids were talking to some of the adults up there at Rochester. And the kids that were talking to the adults, one of their things about their generation was, you know, oftentimes it feels like, and this wasn't their experience, this was the experience of the people around and the kids around them that they knew. They said, oftentimes it feels like you have to become something acceptable before you can even go to church. You have to look better, dress better, act better, something. You have to change something, become accepted before you can go to church and be accepted. I said, man, you've never been in our church. It's sad, but it's true. That's the way the system kind of is set up. You know, you have to change and then you can go to church. That's silly. It's amazingly silly. God has done everything. And he holds a gift. And the gift doesn't say you have to start going to church Sunday morning and then I'll accept you. The gift of grace, by the way, the abundance of grace. And what is grace? Unmerited favor. Means you don't have to earn this favor. You have to give a lot of money and then I'll accept you. You have to wear a suit and tie and then I'll accept. You have to drive a certain car. Boy, if I could find that car, then I'll accept you. You have to dress a certain, you know, it's what's in our mind. It's what's in our mind that Satan uses to block the gospel. And what is the gospel? The gospel is you right now are 100% forgiven. You are. You didn't even have to ask for it. It's there. God has done it. He's done the work. It's yours. Just accept it. Grasp it. Take hold of it. Grab it. That's it. He is Lord. He is God. There's a lot to grabbing it, okay? I'm not saying, oh, just say that word, that's it. No, grab it. What does grabbing it mean? It means knowing that God is and what he has done for you. Accepting that. Receiving that. That's the gift. That's the gift that he gives. And everyone has that gift, but not everyone will experience that gift. And someday, sadly, at the great white throne, Christ will separate the sheep, those who received it, those who acknowledge it, from the goats. Those who said, you know what? I got a better way. I got my way. I want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. My life is my life. I can't share it with God. You see how independent thought has brought us, that's come into our society so much. And it came through that one sin. The sin that brought judgment. The sin brought under judgment, condemnation. But God's gift of grace is more abundant and it is more certain than history. It's more certain. He has given us a gift of grace that is more certain, a gift of righteousness that is more certain than what's already happened. And it is absolutely certain and it is overabundant. And next week we're going to see an even greater abundance of it. It's neat how he puts the words together in the last couple of verses. But God's given that. God has given it, and it's a certainty. And we have that message to share. He has done this for the world. He didn't just die for Christians. He died for the world. And he rose again for the world. But the whole world will not lambano that. Will not grasp that. And the whole world needs that. This gift is so much greater than Adam's sin. This grace overabounds because God gives it. This grace changes the way God views us, the world. This gift must be received, must be lambano. It is not forced on anyone, but it's offered freely to everyone. The world benefits from grace, but the world won't experience it. It won't enjoy all of the benefits of grace without receiving it. Paul is showing the benefit of God's grace here, and he's going to answer some obvious questions, and we'll look at those next week. But his excitement here shows, it just shows because he repeats it over and over. Did you notice that? Read it like four different ways. He repeated it over and over. Just as one man sinned in error, guess what? Grace came through one man too, but it's so much greater, and it's so much more certain. And it's an absolute positive fact that will happen even more than what has happened. See how sure Paul is of this? And he wants us to recognize this truth. Folks, as we get into this Christmas season, I would ask you if you have recognized that truth. Have you lambanoed the gift of grace? I mean, it's an overabundant gift. It is poured out so that everyone in the world has more than they need. Can you imagine? Everyone in the world having more grace than they even need. Overabundant grace and a little more. We'll see that. That's a neat word next week. All right, there's one word really neat next week. All right? But that's what God gives. And it's overabundant and it's free. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, if you have never received that free gift, I would implore you today, be reconciled to God. Accept the gift that he is giving. I would love to show you from Scripture how you can have that relationship with God, how you can call him your daddy. If you have trusted in him, then know this. This life, you will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Not in and of yourself, through Jesus Christ. And this life is free, and it's given to the world. So don't hoard it. Share it. Share it. Share it, especially this season, where we think of gifts, we think of Christ's birth, we think of the family time together, we think of joy and the season and peace. Share that. Share that truth. That you know what? That peace is available to every person. They can have peace with God because of what Jesus has already done. You don't have to do anything. Just lambano. Just lambano. Go ahead and use the word. Hey, lambano this. They'll say, huh? Is that kind of like a dance? Who knows? All right? But just receive it. Just grasp it. Grasp hold of it. Because it's a truth that is given that will save your soul for eternity. All right? Forgiveness is for the world. Salvation is for those who lambano. Salvation is for those who accept his resurrection, his life, his resurrected life, the new life that he gives. And that's what his desire is, that all should come to repentance, that all should lambano him. Let's close in prayer.